Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. Thank you for your patience. This is Foundation Session 3, Enabling People-Centric IT. My name is Andrew Conway. I'm a Director of Product Marketing at Microsoft in the Server and Tools Division. We have you now for the next 60 minutes. We're really going to do a little bit of a drill down now from what Brad showed in the keynote. If you remember from that, we were getting into PCIe immediately after the Windows client and the 8.1 session. We'll give you an overview now of the solution end to end. We'll cover not just Windows Intune and Configuration Manager, but we'll also drill in a lot more deeply on Windows Server 2012 R2 as well and some of the new capabilities that are coming in AD. With that, let's get started. I do want to set context for our people-centric IT solution. It really forms part of what at Microsoft we call the Cloud OS vision. The Cloud OS vision is really our vision for a modern platform for apps. This is for your infrastructure, apps, and data. I think we're all grappling with some existential trends in the IT industry, things like cloud computing, things like the consumerization of IT, things like big data. As you saw today, we have solutions in all of these areas. If you think of what underpins this, if you think of this Cloud OS platform vision, it's really about having a consistent platform for development, management, data, identity, and virtualization. When we think about it being consistent, we think about it as consistent across three clouds. That's your cloud, your private cloud, whatever you're doing in your own data center. It's the service provider or third-party cloud. You may be using a service provider for hosting or for other services. Then it's our first-party cloud, obviously Windows Azure. You saw some of the Windows Azure things today also in the keynote. If we drill down then into the specific solutions that we're bringing on top of this Cloud OS platform, it's really in four areas. I'll start with the transformation of the data center. If you think about the challenges today around delivering computing and really the scale point of computing moving from being at the level of the individual server and shifting to being the entire infrastructure or to the entire cloud or the entire data center. What we're seeing is a generational leap in data center computing and new needs for increased agility, scalability, and reliability across what you're delivering to your end users and to your business unit owners. On top of that, we see new classes of modern applications. Applications that are increasingly mobile, they're written for many different device types and device operating systems, and their backends may be hosted on-premises or in the cloud. If you think about these applications, they're interacting with other applications and with your end users in new and interesting ways. Together, that's starting to throw off just an epic amount of data, not just data that might live in traditional stores and databases, but also a lot of unstructured data. Another component of our Cloud OS vision is really around this ability to unlock insights on any data type. Finally, our topic for today is really people-centric IT. As we think about this wave of consumerization, the BYOD trend, as it's so called, really the sort of BYO everything, people bringing their own devices, new work styles, people bringing new cloud services that maybe they've been using. This is really the set of challenges that we're going to drill into today in a little bit more depth. I know that today you're looking for more than a vision. You're looking for the actual product reality. What have you been delivering over time? What are you bringing that's new? What's the unveilings that you've done today at this TechEd conference here in New Orleans? It all began for us back really with the 2012 release of Config Manager. Config Manager is the market-leading client management tool today. It's on a very large percentage of the enterprise desktops. What we did in the 2012 release, which was a release a number of years in the making, was really re-pivot that product away from a device-centric design point to a user-centric design point. That was a huge shift. It really allowed you, through the application management capabilities of Config Man, to target applications not to an individual device, but to a user based on that user's credentials in Active Directory, which group they are in, which role they might be in, for instance, and then deliver the application in the most appropriate way given the device that that user is on at the time. For instance, they may be on a personal device. They may be on their laptop. They may be on a corporate desktop, whatever it is. It's about targeting that application based on the user. We also brought MDM, Mobile Device Management, through the Exchange Active Sync connector and integrated it into ConfigMan in that release. We followed the 2012 release of System Center with a major update to the Intune service in a similar time frame, and we brought app sideloading there for iOS. We actually demonstrated that on stage at our management conference in Las Vegas that year. And I think we surprised a lot of people by showing an iOS device and showing our commitment to cross-platform support for our MDM solutions. As we moved into the fall, we basically launched one of the most significant updates to Windows Server, Windows Server 2012. And we brought a whole host of improvements here that I'm sure you'll be consuming over the rest of this conference around remote desktop services, for instance, where we dramatically simplified how easy it was to roll out remote desktop services infrastructure, whether you're doing VDI or whether you're doing session host and remote app. And we've dramatically simplified the management of that infrastructure in Server Manager and with PowerShell, again, to really democratize remote desktop services and VDI. We also brought improvements in the base RDP protocol, especially around remote environments over WAN and over the internet, for improved user experience for folks using remote app and VDI. And then finally, in the access and information protection arena, we brought dynamic access control, the ability to execute a policy decision against access to data on Windows Server, based again on that user's account in directory. And aligned with that, we allowed things like the automatic rights protection of documents on a particular share. Sensitive to the data, not just the files, but actually sensitive to the data in those files as part of our commitment to data leakage prevention and information protection. And then finally, we unified the direct access and remote access roles in the remote access role in Windows Server. What we began at the end of last calendar year, though, was a more dramatic shift in terms of the level of integration we're providing between on-premises and the cloud. Brad talked a lot today about managing devices where they live. When we shipped the SP1 of Config Manager 2012, we deeply integrated the Windows Intune service into ConfigMan. And so ConfigMan now shows up as just another site server. Sorry, Intune shows up as just another site server in your ConfigMan infrastructure as manage.microsoft.com. We brought unified management so that the devices would show up in the same views and in the same reporting that you would see for the PCs that you are managing on premises with Config Manager. And we brought direct mobile device management capabilities, not just for Windows now, but for Windows RT, for Windows Phone 8, and for iOS. And we extended our support for Mac OS X PCs. So really a really important release where we began this unification of device management and increased our commitment to cross-platform. We also dramatically simplified the Windows Intune licensing here as well. We shifted it to a per-user model to be sensitive to the fact that users have generally more than one device. And we also included ConfigMan rights with Intune. And so now if you purchase Intune, you own Configuration Manager. And if you already own Configuration Manager, as many of you do, we have a step-up price into Windows Intune. Now we shift gears into where we are today at TechEd in New Orleans, and we've just seen now the announcement in preview of System Center 2012 R2 Configuration Manager, the next major release of Windows Intune, and Windows Server 2012 R2. And we'll really dive in now into not just me talking about what's in these products, but we're going to have a rich set of demos. I'll be joined by some of my colleagues from Redmond, and we'll do the next step down into actually showing you this technology and really piecing it together. But before we do that, I do want to give you some idea of the great customer momentum that we've already seen around Windows Intune. Brad today mentioned that Windows Intune was growing like a weed. Well, I think about Aston Martin as you know, something that's very beautiful and you know, a luxury car brand and something that speaks to performance. And I think it's great to see a company with the obvious brand equity of Aston Martin using Intune. So with that, let me roll a quick video.
Aston Martin is all about power, beauty, and soul. There's an understated elegance of what we actually produce. Our aim is to provide perfection to our customers, and we do that, and we do it incredibly well. And what I need to deliver from an IT perspective is exactly the same. I need to be able to offer them the power. I need to be able to offer them a beautiful solution, and I need to put my heart and soul into that to ensure that what we produce are beautiful cars. As an IT department, we have to offer a service to the organisation, and that service is changing incredibly quickly. We now have the ability to make them change the way they are working, to help them innovate, to help them be more communicative, to give them the information that they need.
We now have the ability to use some cloud technology like Intune, which connects beautifully into a system centre.
People are very, very mobile nowadays, and they expect to be mobile, and they expect to take their devices with them. They also expect to get every piece of information at any point, at any time. And I'm confident now that I can provide that.
What System Center has allowed us to do, in conjunction with products like Intune, is to be able to provide the security and governance that we need to feel confident that our intellectual property is safe, it's secure, and it's not going to fall into the wrong hands.
We've been able to simplify our IT operations with Intune through the unified device management platform that Intune provides in conjunction with Configuration Manager. The software portal in Intune are vital to our users. They're able to self-service and get the applications and support they require.
What I want to do with Azure, what I want to do with Office 365, what I want to do with Intune is to enable the decision makers to make their decisions and make them quickly and make them with the right information in their pockets.
Nothing quite like the sound of a V12 motor, huh? Okay, so that's Aston Martin, a customer of ours that's already been adopting our unified device management with Intune and Configuration Manager. As we think about the people-centric IT or consumerization of IT challenges more broadly, though, as I mentioned, it really begins at that design point of the user. I think we've seen a really big shift here with just changing user expectations of technology. People expect to be able to work from wherever they want to work. We see the work-life boundaries blurring. And then this is compounded by the fact now that there's an explosion of devices. So based on touch screens and long battery life and a ubiquitous connection to the internet, based on new app models and based on consumer services, individuals as consumers are increasingly getting work done on their devices, and they're bringing those expectations to us in IT and saying, hey, I want to get work done on a particular device. And as we have conversations with our customers and with our partners, it's really starting to center on this app question now. It really is all about the app on a number of different dimensions. So once you start to go beyond corporate email on a device, it's really about making decisions around app delivery, provisioning, the full life cycle of the app, where the data for a particular app is stored, and then ultimately how you're going to wipe or deprovision that app and data away from a device. And what we see is customers working through the head end of those apps, so the really popular big apps that people use every single day, and then the long tail of apps that they have. There's a whole host of different approaches here now. We have customers who might be writing new modern apps for Windows, they might be writing them for other mobile device platforms, and then for legacy apps, they might say be wanting to just keep them running in the data center. They might want to run them in a contained environment like with VDI or with remote app or session host. So we see the full range of different app delivery challenges now for us focused on end user computing in terms of delivering and provisioning those apps. And associated with that, as I mentioned, is data. Not just data in terms of the work files that information workers use every day in personal stores, but also the data that's getting written by those applications. Where is that data getting written? Is it all contained in the data center, or are there local stores of data, and where is it, and how do you protect it? There's clearly an increased surface here for data leakage, and I think we're all challenged as IT professionals in really maintaining compliance and reducing risk for our organizations. And so some of the things that we'll show you today are really in that area, especially around some of our investments in the coming R2 release of Windows Server 2012 to really improve the information protection solutions that we can deliver to you. And as we think about those solutions, our delivery is really grouped in three broad areas, and we'll use this now to structure the rest of the presentations and the demos that we'll go through in this session. We start with empowering users. How are you going to allow those users to work on devices that they choose, Where are you going to draw the line? How are you going to provide consistent access to corporate resources for those devices where you want to provide access to corporate resources? And how are you going to manage those so-called corp company portal experiences across different devices? From an IT pro lens, how are you going to avoid having just one point tool after the next? Some of you are probably out there adopting point solutions, say, right now for MDM. Our philosophy is really around unifying and integrating the infrastructure. And you've seen that with our commitment to deeply integrate Intune into Config Manager, and you'll see more of that today. And then finally, protecting data, as I've already mentioned. You'll see some of the investments there that we're bringing in Windows Server and also in Intune, things like selective wipe, the ability to register a device into AD, if you so wish, for a second factor, and then support for multi-factor auth for authentication decisions. So with that, I'll drill down into Empower Users and get very specific about some of the new capabilities that are coming. Consistent company portal experiences across devices. So you would expect us to do this for Windows, Windows RT, Windows Phone, and we have. We're also going to have native company portal experiences on iOS and Android in this coming release. We've also dramatically simplified what it takes to register and enroll devices. So today in the keynote demo with Molly, you saw the act of registering a device into AD, a so-called workplace join of that device, different than a domain join, but the ability to write a record into AD for that device and associate it with a user. That goes for Windows devices, it goes for iOS devices. And then a much simpler enrollment experience as well into the Intune service. So if you have an individual who has a personal device who wants to enroll in the Intune service, we have a great experience for that. And then finally, automatic connection to internal resources. So we think about an end user clicking on a particular app. That app needs a VPN connection back to your corporate for resources that you're hosting behind the firewall in your data center. That will automatically spark up a VPN connection for that app. So with that, I'd like to drill down to the next level of detail and really walk you through the solution. It begins with those users, and it begins with device types of all kinds, and it begins with AD. 90% of companies that have a directory use Active Directory, and we've extended that directory to the cloud with Windows Azure AD. And that's your directory. You set up a tenant in that directory. You make the choices about the data that you want to sync from on-premise to cloud, and the choices about the data that you don't want to sync from on-premise to cloud. It's not Microsoft's directory. It's your directory. And so with Windows Azure Active Directory, we already have some hundreds of thousands of tenants and billions of authentication decisions happening, as Brad mentioned today. And so at the core is this registration into directory for single sign-on and workplace join, and then enrollment into the management service with Config Manager now extended with Windows Intune so that we can manage those mobile devices where they live in the cloud. It's not just about the act of registration, though, and putting in a management service for its own sake. I think we've all started to go beyond now just inventory, settings management, et cetera. It's about what are the capabilities that we're bringing to give access to resources. As I mentioned before, in the 2012 release, we made a huge investment in remote desktop services with VDI, Session Host, from an ease of management point of view, taking advantage of storage improvements we have, like storage spaces and now tiered storage, to really drive down the economics of that solution. And then when it comes to your own on-premise resources, things like web apps, line of business apps, and now personal files as well, with capabilities like the new work folders in Windows Server 2012 R2, and the ability to publish those capabilities out through what we would call the web application proxy, which is a new feature in the remote access role of Windows Server, through your firewall and to those users. So with that, what I'd like to do is bring up Paul Mayfield, who's one of our partner program managers, and he's going to take you through a pretty extended demonstration now of some of the capabilities we have for empowering users. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Andrew. So let's go ahead and start by showing that enrollment and registration experience. Uh-oh. All right. We'll start by typing in a password. Okay, one more try. All right, wrong password. Okay, so let's go ahead and show the experience of bringing a machine into the Active Directory at your company. We have a new commandlet here on Windows 8.1, where I can go to the network and hit my domain join. This is the workplace join, so it's not the same as a domain join as Andrew mentioned. This is the ability to put a record in the Active Directory of your device, which allows your IT professional to audit the access that this device is doing, know what users are using this device to access which resources, and provide conditional access based on the user, the location, and the device. I'll go ahead and press join here. I'll be prompted for my password. Okay, and in this case, again, my IT professional, my IT department has decided that it's not good enough just to enter a password, but I need a second factor of authentication. So we're going to use the Azure Active Authentication. When I hit continue here, it's going to go ahead and ring my phone over here and ask me to verify that I am who I am and that I had the phone in addition to my password.
Thank you for using Microsoft Sign-In Verification System. Press the pound key to finish signing in.
So I'll press pound.
And you now, have been signed in. Goodbye.
Now my device is being registered in the Active Directory through those services in the company. Now, in addition to getting my record into AD so that that can be tracked and so that I can access resources, at my company, I can allow IT to configure my device, give me the certificates and the Wi-Fi profiles and the VPN profiles and the apps that I need to do my job. So I'll go ahead and turn that on as well. This is going to have my connect my device to the Intune service that's being managed through the SCCM deployment. And I'll just go ahead and enter in my credentials one more time. And part of the process of empowering a user is to let them opt in and agree to the controls that IT would want to have. So in this case, by my registering in for enrollment, I'm allowing IT to make some changes to my device. They'll be able to push certificates down, allow me to install applications, put profiles down. So I'm going to go ahead and agree to that. And now my device is enrolled for management as well. Now, the process to then pull down all the information and get set up takes a couple minutes, so I'm going to go ahead and switch over to a pre-prepared machine. Let's see if that's on number two here. Yeah. So on this device, you can see I've got, if I pull up my settings on the network, I've got a VPN profile that's been pushed down to me from my IT department, and the certificates required to make that VPN connection have been pushed down as well. I also have this company portal app that's been installed for me. And this is an experience for getting access to your enterprise apps. Here's an expense report that I could go ahead and install. We went through some of this in the keynote earlier, so I'm going to kind of get through this quick to get to the next section. But we've got devices here that I can go. I could connect to them if they're a PC back at my office. I could rename them. I could even wipe off their corporate data. And I get an experience also to connect with my IT department if I need help. One of the things that we talked about in the keynote but didn't go deep on was this new capability to do work folders. So we've had for some time the ability through SharePoint Online SkyDrive Pro to access files and content and data from any number of devices, any location. In the R2 wave of releases later this year, we're offering this additional ability to access content that's on file shares. And that's what work folders is about. So if I go ahead and say I want to set up my work folders, I will get prompted for my credentials here as well. And I'll be told, okay, I have access to folders on a share at work. They're going to be stored locally in my profile. I will have to, again, agree to controls from IT to make sure that my device is conformant with their policy. So in this case, The storage for the files themselves will be encrypted. I will be required to have a PIN or a password to log on to my personal device and so forth. I'll go ahead and agree to that. And with that, I get the work folders configured on my machine. So let's go ahead and you can see that I've got a number of devices that have a number of files and folders that have already been downloaded from the server to my device. And if I go ahead and create a new document here, we'll go ahead and title this TechEd Demo. We'll say, hello, audience. Let's put some confidential data into this file. Okay. We'll save that off and close that down. And we'll come down and open up one more file. It will say, hello, audience. This file contains all public information. And we'll go ahead and save that. Okay. Now, it might have been a subtle point here, but you'll notice that the TechEd Demo 2 file is 12 kilobytes, while the TechEd Demo 1 file is 144. The reason for that is because we've put a policy on the file server using dynamic access control that said whenever you find the word confidential in a document, go ahead and write manage protect it. So this file here that we originally typed has been updated with an RMS envelope so that if I ever tried to save this to a SkyDrive or a Dropbox or something, I would still not be able to access the file. And in fact, if we come over on another VM here, this would be the PC running back at my, if I can type passwords again, back at my office, you'll see that the two files that I typed on that other document have synced over here. It looks like the updated version of the second document, it hasn't made it yet. But if I try to launch the original document we typed, I'm going to be prompted for my credentials because it has been managed, it's been protected with that dynamic access control. So I'll go ahead, type in my password here again. And when this file launches, you'll see that it's been classified with high impact data in it, and I wouldn't be able to do a bunch of the sharing that I'd otherwise be able to do. So between enrolling the device to get access to services, configuring work folders, and having that dynamic access control, I have a pretty good solution for getting access to all my apps and all my data. And I wanted to just show one more device here. Here's an iPad. We've also provided the ability to enroll those into the Active Directory and get these same services. In this case, you'll have the IT administrator send out an email saying, click here to enroll the device. That will take us to a portal where I can enter in my... And I'm going to have to type my password now, so I'm going to just lower that down a little bit. Come see me afterwards, and I'll give you the password. Right. And this is going to be tricky to type here, I can tell already. Okay. So I went ahead and typed that in, and now I'm getting the prompt again for that second factor of authentication from PhoneFactor. So I'll go ahead and tap continue. And that will go ahead in just a moment and ring the phone again. Again, a second factor of authentication is
thank you for using Microsoft sign-in verification
needed for me to get access.
Press the pound key to finish signing in.
So I go ahead and
signed in. Goodbye.
I go ahead and I accept that. Now I get a management profile that I can install. There's some handshaking between the device and our services in the cloud. And in just a moment, this device will also be registered in the Active Directory, and any access that I'm making to corporate resources from this device will also be able to be logged by my IT administrator, and you'll be able to set policies that say, allow Paul on the iPad to access this information, don't allow Paul on the other devices to access information. Okay? And I will once again swap over to a pre-baked machine. Wait for that to come up. Just so I can show you that we have, again, a great experience on an iPad for doing the same things we were doing on the Surface device. Here I can see my desktop devices. I have contact IT available at the bottom here, wired in for both the phone and for the email. I can click on a link here to take us to the portal, which, all right, I'll type in my credential there again. Bear with me. I'll tweet it out after this show. Oops. For that to come up. Okay, so this is the list of applications that's been targeted for my iPad. Here's a line of business app from Contoso that can be sideloaded onto my device. I'll go ahead and install that. Again, we're going to talk to the cloud services, get information about the device, agree to the installation, and it's off and running. So with that, I think we've shown a pretty comprehensive set of access to applications, data. Again, if we unenroll these devices, it's going to wipe out the files, wipe out the apps, wipe out the app's data, their certificates, the profiles, all that information, and it will leave behind the personal information on these devices. And with that, I think I'll turn back over to Andrew.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Paul. Great comprehensive set of capabilities there, not just on Windows, as we've shown, but now also on iOS as well. And registering those devices into AD, I think that's probably surprising for a lot of you, but that ability, if you wish, to do that workplace join, register it, and in many cases then use that as a second factor in auth decisions. So moving from Empower users now more back to the IT pro lens, what are some of the capabilities that we're bringing for IT pros and with respect to back-end infrastructure? Well, I think the first thing is that we continue to deeply integrate Intune into Config Manager, and we'll show more of that in our demo that's coming up. And then again, an increased commitment here around this user-centric app management and user-centric app delivery. We'll show you now on the back end all of the work that was done by the desktop admin to really target those apps to different devices. If you're sideloading an app, as Paul just did, onto an iOS device, for instance, those packages will show up in Intune, and you'll be able to target them to the user, or modern apps onto the Windows machine that he showed as well. Third thing here is comprehensive settings management. So this is really us bringing a full set now of direct management capabilities across Windows, Windows RT, Windows Phone, iOS through the Apple Push Network, and then Android through our own agent on top of Android. And so really a commitment for comprehensive settings management across mobile device platforms. And then finally, this common identity that we've already spent time on today, this ability to extend your on-premise AD to the cloud with Windows Azure on your own terms. And Azure AD is the cloud directory that underlies Intune, and it underlies other cloud services at Microsoft as well. Obviously, Office 365, one of the fastest growing products in our history as a company. And so just to drill into this into a little bit more detail, we think of IT Pro now being presented by that single or unified console experience and the ability to manage devices and to set up and configure those devices where they live with Config Manager extended with Intune. And this isn't just the settings management on the device. It's also that initial setup and enrollment. So it's bringing down things like certificates, VPN profiles, corporate Wi-Fi network profiles as well. And this isn't, again, just about the act of inventory or settings management or reporting on devices that are in your environment. It's really about that full life cycle of the device, but it's about the full life cycle of the app as well. Delivering a curated list of apps in the company portals to your end users and then managing them through the full life cycle. So with that, I'm going to hand over to Dilip, who's going to take us through a more detailed demo of this inside Config Manager.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning, everyone. So today in the keynote demo, as well as in Paul's demo, you had a chance to see what's the user experience from an end user perspective. Now what I'm going to do is switch over to the IT Pro experience that we are going to be providing with our upcoming Configuration Manager R2 release. So to set some context for the demo, there are going to be three scenarios that I'm going to be showing. One is how easy and simple it is to set up an Intune subscription and add it to the Configuration Manager on-premise instance. Number two, we're going to see how a user-centric approach to mobile device management is provided in our product. And then we'll go in and see how to provision all the VPN profiles, Wi-Fi, certificates, applications that Paul showed in his demo. So I'm actually connecting to the same ContourServe 2013 environment. And what you are seeing here is the R2 preview release that will be announcing the date shortly. In terms of Configuration Manager and the Intune connection to be established, you go into the administration node, and you will see a new node that we have called Cloud Services. This is where we have the ability to attach all the online cloud services to an on-premise Configuration Manager instance. So you start with a Windows Intune subscription. There's a very simple couple of click wizards that will take you through setting up a subscription. I've already created one, so let's go and take a look at some of the properties that you'll set up when you set up the subscription. The first thing is you can go in and select who are the users in your enterprise who can enroll their mobile devices for management and connect to corporate data. So you have complete control over which of the users, a subset of users in your enterprise can do this. And so you create a collection like any other collection in Configuration Manager, and that's the collection you assign it to. Then you can start branding the information in the company portal that you saw in Paul's demo. And the best part about it is it'll be consistent across all your self-service portals for your end user. So whether it's from an iOS device or an Android device or from our own Windows devices, you can make it look like you are delivering the IT services and your end users can see the company logo, they have the contact information, all set up in such a way that if they need any help, they can actually access it. The most important point was how do we now support all the different platforms now? It's no longer just Windows and Windows phones and Windows RT devices, but we support iOS and Android devices as well in this release. And the wizard just takes you through some basic configuration steps that you would need to provision or get app deployment working on these platforms. So that's step one of setting up an Intune subscription. The second step is you go into sites and servers. So you see a new site role, which is called the Intune connector. So you need this role because you're going to be creating your policies, everything from your on-premise Configuration Manager console. So these policies now have to flow to the Intune service in the cloud, so which is the manage.microsoft.com. So the Intune connector is a two-way connector. It takes these policies and apps, publishes it to the service in the cloud, and on the way back, when these devices get these policies and send their compliance data back, it again comes into the Config Manager database. So when you do all your reporting, you have very rich reporting of not just your PCs, but also all your mobile devices from the same admin console. So that's it. So those are the two steps, and you need it. It's a one-time activity. Once you set it up, there is no more need to go back and change it. And as and when new users are enrolling, these devices will start showing up in Config Manager console, and you can manage it like any other device you do today. So with that, let's take a look at how we provide a user-centric approach here. So for that, let's go into the asset and compliance node. You look at the list of users. So one thing you'd notice is these are the ContourServe end users who have been synchronized from the on-premise AD into Config Manager through the discovery process that you're familiar with today. But what's also happened is the same set of users have been synchronized to the Intune service in the cloud to Azure Active Directory. So if you're already an Office 365 customer, this has already been set up for you. But if you don't have Office 365, then it's very straightforward to set up that subscription. So once you do that, this information about the same user identity that is available on-premise is available in cloud, So when Paul was doing all his login, he was able to use the same credentials that he would have used when he worked on his domain PC. So this gives you strong identity and as well as single sign-on capability. So let's go and look for Paul. So there's Paul. So I want to take a look at all devices for Paul. So I can see that he has a desktop, an iPad, and a Surface. And I can see that one is a computer, the other two are managed as mobile devices through my mobile channel in Intune. We have now introduced a new attribute called device ownership. So what this gives you is the ability to quickly check what are the devices of Paul that are personally owned versus corporate owned. So the desktop is something that we purchased, whereas Paul bought the iPad and Surface on his own and enrolled those devices into the system. So this is a very powerful feature that can help you create pre-canned reports and collections that you can use dynamic queries and say, okay, show me all users who kind of enrolled their personal devices this week. And then you can see the count of how many devices, what kind of devices are they enrolling. So it gives you a lot more control. And that can also be extended into other areas. Like when we want to collect inventory data, we can collect it only from corporate-owned devices, but an app inventory, we won't collect it from a personal device. So we don't try to get all the apps somebody had installed. So the other thing you can do is now we've shown how to set up the subscription and how to enroll devices so that they start showing up here. Next is how do we provision access to these IT resources for these users? To do that, let's go into the compliance and settings node, and you'll see a new feature that we're introducing called the company resource access. And this has three major features, which is we can create VPN profiles, we can create Wi-Fi profiles, and you can deploy certificates. So let's start with the VPN profiles. This is the same VPN profile that you saw when Paul logged into Contoso. So let's go in and create a new one for our demo. So let's call it Contoso VPN 2. So one of the main things that we want to call out here is we just don't support the Microsoft VPN, but we also now have partnered with every major SSL VPN vendor. So we work closely with Cisco, Juniper Networks, F5, Dell SonicWall, and Checkpoint. So these are all vendors we've been working with. And the best part is you create a VPN profile once. You don't create an iOS VPN profile or a Windows VPN profile. You create just, here's my SonicWall VPN profile. And then we do the work behind the scenes. When Paul logs in from an iPad, we'll send down the iOS version of it, versus when he logs in from his Windows device, he gets the Windows version of that VPN profile. So, and in case you're not using one of these products, you still have the ability to use the standard VPN protocols like PPTP, L2TP, or IQ2. So let's go ahead and choose one of these. So I'll go with the Microsoft one. So let me give a friendly name. So let's just put in some IP address. So the other capabilities are, now you can set up the authentication, you can have a simple username password, or you can have smart cards and certificates, and if you choose the certificates, there's a very detailed configuration page that lets you select all the properties of those certificates. I'm going to leave it with the default. So the other thing I wanted to call out was this enable VPN on demand. So this was mentioned briefly in the keynote, but the ability to connect automatically to your corporate resources on demand is a very important feature that we're introducing. Some of you are familiar with it on iOS, but on Windows, we are introducing this feature. And then there are two variations of it. One is a DNS network-based triggering. So you just enter something like corp.contoso.com as the suffix. And then you can say establish the connection if it's needed. And that's it. So this means any traffic that comes from your device that goes to this DNS suffix is going to automatically trigger a VPN connection. And in addition, on Windows, we have a very unique feature which is not even available on iOS, which is the ability to automatically trigger a VPN based on the app ID. So it could be an Apex file, a modern app ID, or it could be an MSI file where you've given the path of the app executable. So those are the features on VPN. I want to quickly talk about Wi-Fi. So you can set up corporate or any Wi-Fi networks so that whenever those are detected, they're automatically picked up by your device. When you bring your personal device to work, it's already set up and good to go. You could have more security as you want. For the R&D, I just created something that's more secure that will say you need a certificate for using that Wi-Fi. So both the VPN and Wi-Fi, we talked about deploying certificates. So you can now deploy certificates both for Trusted Root Authority certificates that needs to be in your Trusted Root store, as well as the client enrolling and getting a dynamic certificate through the SCEP protocol. So both of them are supported. And it's not necessary just for just VPN and Wi-Fi. You can use this for other scenarios, like if you have to deploy modern Apex files to Windows clients. For sideloading purposes, you need a code signing certificate. And that's another scenario that can be deployed using this feature. So we've looked at Paul's device. It's already now been set up for VPN and network access. Let's look at applications. If you've been using Config Manager 2012, you're already familiar with the app model that we introduced. So you can go in and deploy either line of business apps or apps that are already in your store. So I'm going to just take one example, say Skype. So once again, you don't have to worry about what are the different variations of Skype. You need to say, okay, Paul as a user in my enterprise, we use Skype for internal communication, so Paul needs Skype. So but there is an MSI version of Skype, there is an iPad version of Skype, there's an iOS version of Skype, there's an Android version of Skype. These are all just five deployment types for the same application called Skype. So what this gives you is, again, a very powerful model where you're worried only about applications and users, and underlying technologies like what is a deployment type or when does it get updated, all that happens very transparent to both the IT admin as well as the end user. And last but not least, as Andrew was pointing out, we've added a whole bunch of new settings. So you go into creating configuration items. So by the way, you're noticing that we're not introducing any new features or concepts. These are concepts you're already familiar with. You've been using baselines and CIs if you use DCM today, and similarly with app model, which is already there. So you don't have to learn anything new for doing mobile device management. So let's go in and create a sample demo, and I'm going to select mobile device. So you'll notice that there are several categories of settings, like so many new categories we've added in this release. Let me go in and also choose the additional option. So key things that are worth calling out are, in addition to regular password and other settings that we already had, we added a lot of capabilities that were very unique only for, say, iOS. Say, you can't back up any data to iCloud service or prevent use of camera on this device or whatever. Those kind of restrictions that you could add are all now available on this. And in addition to that, you can also do things like the work folders that we were demonstrating earlier. So when you look at it, go to additional settings. And so you can see all the new settings. So there are like over 100 plus settings that you can actually access from our product. So with that, I've given you a sample for all the features that we are introducing in this release. A lot of breakout sessions where we go into a lot of details on each one of them. We look forward to seeing you there. Thanks.
Thank you, Dilip. A really comprehensive tour there of everything from the IT pro perspective, the desktop admin perspective in Config Manager and Intune. Our final pillar here to cover is really around protecting data. And as we've covered today, some of the new capabilities that we're bringing, not just in the management service, but also core to the directory. So policy-based access control to corporate apps and data. This act of requiring a second factor as you publish resources out through the firewall. Not just something for the initial registration, but something where you can actually put that in front of, say, work folders for data that you're publishing, or you could put that in front of a particular app. That support for multi-factor is not just phone factor, but it's extensible and can be used by other multi-factor or one-time password providers. And then finally, this ability to selectively wipe a device. I think everyone's been through an experience where their entire device has been blown up and wiped, and you've lost, you know, maybe personal photos, videos of your kids, whatever it is. What we're talking about now is just removing those apps, removing that corporate data, and cleansing the device. So if we think about that flow, it really is about that data, how you're thinking about containering that data, maybe if you have to, through virtualization? Or what are the policy controls that you're putting around that data with respect to personal data stores like work folders or distributed data that's associated with apps? And like I said, we have this rich set of capabilities in WinServer 2012 around remote desktop services, and then the access policy that we're bringing with the web application proxy and ADFS and AD around those policy and access decisions. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Sam, and he's going to do our final demo for today and take you into some of that policy surface in AD and in ADFS. Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Andrew. Good morning. I'm going to try to kind of compress a little bit for my demo session. We have a series of breakout sessions, but we saw Paul show the information worker experience. We saw Dilip showcase some of the unified management experience. So I'm going to focus a little more on the IT pro experiences around three key experiences out here. So I'm going to start off by, you saw a lot of authentication happening. And I'm going to start off by first showing how easy it was to be able to use your device-based data to drive access control decisions, or think of it as a multi-factor. Right now I'm on the ADFS management console. In the keynote, you saw Molly accessing a SharePoint site, and she was access denied because she was incoming from a workplace join device. Now, to enable that ability and capability, an administrator has to do a simple thing. One is really focus on, it's just a simple checkbox that says enable device authentication. This gives ADFS the ability to ask the device for the certificate that was provisioned during the workplace join process. Now, I really want to reemphasize a few things. Workplace join gives you three types of capabilities. One is because we know about you on that device, we can give you longer lived sessions. So you don't have to keep typing in passwords constantly, which sometimes is very frustrating on a device. Now, the second, you saw the capability in which workplace join device could actually be provisioned with a second factor credential. Now, as a result, what happens is that in a seamless fashion, now you have both a user credential as well as a device credential being presented during the authentication process. This is seamless multi-factor, which is very convenient for end users and good security from IT. The third is because we know about the device, you get conditional access, thinking about audit, thinking about saying that, hey, I only allow access to this resource only from workplace join devices. Now, not only do we kind of give you that ability to control, we also give you the ability to, on a per application, to essentially state that I need multi-factor authentication. Not all applications are made equal, so as a result, you may have a small set of sensitive applications that you really want a second factor credential. So with the new ADFS and the R2 wave, we have the ability now on a per application basis to require multi-factor authentication. Right now, I'm looking at the device registration service, which itself is an application to us, and says, okay, what are the conditions under which you want multi-factor authentication? We have a few simple ways in which you can think about it. You may want, for example, an application admin to that app to always require multi-factor authentication. And if that is governed by a security group, we have that capability. You can just say add within the object picker and provide the group. Or in this case, we said anyone coming from the extranet is fundamentally requires multi-factor authentication. So those are the types of simple controls that you have to control on a per application basis whether you want multi-factor authentication. Now I'm going to move on to the next experience. You saw that SharePoint being accessed from outside. Molly was accessing it from outside. And this is all enabled by the new web application proxy in Windows Server 2012 R2. Now, this gives us the ability to pre-authenticate the users at the edge, do multi-factor authentication if we need to, and provide all the right set of controls for IT when they're accessing from outside. And I'm going to show you how simple it was to actually publish a resource within the web application proxy. Web application proxy is part of the remote access role. It's just a role service under that, which gives you, it sits along with VPN, direct access. It's the edge server from Windows Server. And I'm going to go hit publish. So web application proxy supports either a pass-through mode or can use ADFS to essentially drive its entire authentication sequence. So I'm going to use ADFS in this case, and I'm getting a list of applications. I haven't published this application before, and I provided a name, published claims app. I provide a URL. Pick up the certificate for it, which is already pre-provisioned, and we helpfully tell you what the PowerShell was. And that's it. And those were all the simple steps that I needed to publish this application. Now it's on the extranet. You can control policies on this application, on this application that says, if I wanted multi-factor authentication, you can control even, say, who gets to access this application from outside through the web application proxy as well. That's the level of controls that we provide. Finally, the last scenario that I'm going to showcase the IT Pro experience is about work folders. You saw Paul demonstrate the ability in which I can synchronize my files over to any of my devices and have them all so that I can do work. Now, let me kind of showcase some of the very simple ways in which you're able to do that. Now, I'm on the server manager console and for the file server, and it's a simple set of settings for the work folder. Work folder supports just using Windows authentication or using ADFS. Now, the one additional aspect that ADFS provides is now you can drive the same sort of conditional access based on devices, users, location, multi-factor authentication that, you've seen a little earlier that I talked about as well. And it's all a simple matter of configuring, saying, what is the service URL of your ADFS instance? Now, in the work folders case, I have two shares available for two different teams. Because at Microsoft, we like each of our teams like to kind of have our own settings that we can control based on who we get access to. In this case, I have the finance folder, and it's as simple as a few set of steps in which to be able to configure the work folders. And in this case, I've also said the sync access is fundamentally only to my to anyone in my team, which is in the finance team, for example. And that pretty much concludes my portion of the demo, which showcases some of our IT Pro experiences. We have a series of breakout sessions, so I hope you get to attend them and learn more about them. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. And so just to recap what we've shown you today, across these main pillars of the value proposition here for the range of new capabilities in people-centric IT, empowering users, that's where we showed consistent portal experiences, not just on Windows, RT, and phone, but also iOS and Android, and you saw our iOS experience earlier. That simplified registration into AD and enrollment into Intune for the management service, automatic VPN. On the IT Pro side, deep integration that Dilip showed you between Intune and Config Manager, and comprehensive settings now across all mobile device platforms. And then finally, protecting data, that ability to have policy-based access control, not just on the act of device registration, but also by app, and in the case of work folders, via different groups that you're publishing work folders to. So that pretty much concludes the foundation session today. I do want to point you in the direction of deeper content that will be happening throughout the week. Hopefully you should have a little card that's showing you all of those new R2 sessions for Config Manager and for Windows Server. Just a list of the sessions here that I'll leave up for a few seconds for you to take a look. So we will be delving into that unified management, into access and information protection, work folders, and AD. And then the usual resources that we have available online. And as the preview bits come later this month, obviously, we'll have rich content on TechNet, and these sessions will be recorded and available on demand on Channel 9. So with that, I would encourage you to complete your session evals to be entered to win, or you can scan if you have the Windows phone application. So I'd like to thank everyone who came today and participated, and I'd like to thank the demo team with us and also all of the colleagues that we're working with in Redmond on this release. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of Tech Ed.